T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Kevin Hardwick is joining us live, Erie County legislator and political science professor at Canisius College, talking about a couple of things. And let's start with the debate, Kevin. Are you ready for a 3-hour event tonight?
Yeah, I've got the popcorn already by the microwave. It's going to be quite a night.
Yeah, 3 hours, 10 candidates. What do you think about that? It's a lot of people to have on the stage, but it seems like they might have time to actually hear from all of them, maybe?
Yeah, my understanding is that the rules of the game are giving them a little bit longer to answer each question. Not a lot longer, maybe 15 seconds or so, but that can make a difference. It means that hopefully they won't have to go past the bell, and the moderators won't have to keep telling them to shut up, and they'll get their views out. So, I'm looking forward to it.
You know, unlike the previous debates, this will be the first one with Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders all together on the same stage for the first time. What do you think that'll be like?
It's going to be interesting. I think I'm not sure you'll see them go at each other. I don't think you'll see Elizabeth Warren attack Joe Biden directly. I think she's done well in the first couple debates, just being herself, getting her positions out there, not necessarily going after anyone other than the president, of course. And I think she, as I said, you know, of all the candidates, of all the 20 candidates in the first couple debates, she's the one that's shown constant improvement, and I think she'll keep that up.
Are Democrats maybe overcorrecting a bit? You know, we're already hearing about the fourth debate after this, that, you know, some of the people who aren't even on the stage tonight have qualified for later on just because of the backlash to how the lead up to 2016 went, how we didn't really get to hear from Bernie Sanders that much. Is this an overcorrection in your mind? Is this the right thing to do, having this many debates before we even hit the year 2020?
Yeah, well, I mean, different people will tell you different things. I like to hear from as many people as possible. I mean, one of the guys that'll be joining the debate next month in October is Tom Steyer. I mean, we've seen a lot of him. He's a billionaire. He's paid for a lot of ads going back more than a year now. But we've never seen him go toe-to-toe in a debate with other candidates and be asked pointed questions about his views. So that'll be interesting. And in fact, that not being there tonight, not being in the first couple debates, might be an advantage for someone like Steyer if he can pull it off, because he'll be fresh. You know, we've seen the other ones. We're getting kind of tired of their talking points, and this is something new. And you know, we all like things that are new.
You know, for someone like Joe Biden, who we've seen a lot, what does he have to do tonight to stay out in front?
Well, he's got to try to avoid too many large gaffes. I think there's always a gaffe or two when Biden comes out. The fear is that he's not going to hang on, that he's going to collapse, and then there's going to be no one warming up in the centrist or the moderate bullpen. I think you look at people like Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, and you look at Pete Buttigieg as possibly filling that role, but you know, Klobuchar really hasn't taken off yet. Which is kind of a disappointment. I'm sure she's disappointed with it. But people looking for a moderate replacement of Biden, if and when he falters, have to be worried about that.
You know, thinking of Biden and Sanders, I feel like a lot of people kind of have their minds made up about it. They've been in the public spotlight for some time now, and a lot of people have an opinion. I like to look at some of the 538, metrics when they look at some of the candidates. And one of the interesting ones is favorable, unfavorable rankings. And then there's this big space in between of people who just have no opinion on these people because they haven't heard of them yet. And Buttigieg is really interesting because they're of the people who have heard of him, according to only, of course, one metric, of course, 43% of a positive, you know, reaction to him, and only 11% an unfavorable reaction to him. For candidates like him or Yang or Klobuchar, Castro, Are these debates really for them to kind of build up that name recognition and get people on the positive side thinking about them?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And you mentioned Buttigieg as having done well. And again, he's one of those candidates that could replace Biden if Biden falters in that moderate lane, if you will. That's, you know, as I said, Klobuchar is the other one that I could see doing that, but she hasn't taken off. She hasn't, I don't think she's used her time as well. You know, the other thing that's important to remember is these are debates. It's still a long way to go. What will probably make the bigger difference is what happens in Iowa in February, in New Hampshire in February, because there you won't have debates, you won't have public opinion polls and random samples. You'll have actual voters standing up and being counted. And that's always why those are the two most important contests in the primary phase, the first caucus in the nation in Iowa, the first primary in the nation in New Hampshire. And those are states, those are small states. It's not like New York where, you know, you've got to pay a king's ransom to get on TV across the state and do well. That's retail politics. And I would think some of the candidates that didn't make the debate stage are probably spending a lot of time in Iowa trying to surprise people on caucus night in February.
Hey, Kevin, before we let you go, the legislature goes back to work today, and among the items that you'll be looking at this afternoon is one proposal to oppose the New York State license plate fee. How do you plan to vote on that?
Well, I think most of us are against that license plate fee. We would prefer that it be funded by some other manner. We haven't talked about it yet. I'm not even sure if it'll be voted on today, but I think that's something that that we do need to discuss. That's something that wasn't in play, you know, a month ago.
How much power does the Erie County Legislature have over that?
Well, obviously, I don't think Albany, the governor, and the state legislature are waiting around to hear Erie County weigh in. In the end, we have probably very little say in that. I don't know that they take our opinion all that seriously. You would like to think that they would, but in the end, you know, they have many of the same constituents we have, and they'll obviously respond to them also.
Kevin, we appreciate the time this morning. Kevin Hardwick, political science professor at Canisius and member of the Erie County Legislature.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.